Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Why should you visit
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
Acknowledge me.
Patrick O'Dowd, big news in the world of pro wrestling. I can't believe we are lucky enough to be on the air as this is breaking. Brand new NWA United States Tag Team Champions were crowned today on NWA Power.
Oh?
That's huge. I believe they're broadcasting on Twitter now since they can't the CW thing anymore. Yeah, NWA Power. Excuse me, because there's a bunch of R's at the end of it. I guess. I don't. I just happen to see that. My phone thinks I care about this because it gave me the notification.
We were making jokes. When NWA Power did its first run on the old YouTube, I watched it.
I think I've watched maybe in the 5 years since they've been back, like five episodes.
Like, it's another disposable wrestling company to watch,
right?
Like,
disposable wrestling company. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Well, your life doesn't change if you don't watch it. If you watch it, it might be mildly entertaining.
It's like you with WoW, right?
WoW, yeah, absolutely, 1,000%. Which even then, I had to take a break from WoW.
were you getting too invested?
No, it's just it's. It was too much of some bad pizza. I stepped away for a little bit. It was okay.
Had to take a break from WoW. You and WoW are on a break. You'll be fine.
We are. I'm getting back into catching up on who some of these people are. I actually did literally started rewatching today, and it was funny because the Mrs. O'Dowd, big wrestling fan that she is.
Of course, yeah.
So I click on the random recording. We're like, let's get back into this. And the mother truckers were being brought into, I can't remember the name, the woman's name, but they clearly lost some sort of match They mm-hmm. had to like clean this woman's mansion. And so that's what they were doing, in like crappy maid outfits and stuff. And the Mrs. No Doubt was just like, she stopped and she stared and she kept looking at the screen and looking at me. And I'm just like, just move along. This is just move along. It's never been your thing.
It's never going to be your thing.
And I don't particularly care for this mother-daughter combination, but they're on my screen right now. So move along. It'll be okay.
How can you not care for Jessie Bell? She's been on the program multiple times.
Jessie Bell's not part of the Mother Charter.
Oh, she's not? Oh. No. I take it all back. Go ahead and not care.
Jessie Bell is doing other stuff in WoW.
Oh yeah, I knew. I thought she was one of the mother truckers. Okay, my bad.
No, I actually need to get kind of reintegrated into who's doing what now, because some things have changed. People have flipped.
Of course, yes.
I gotta learn some new talent. Like there were women on this episode. I'm like, hi.
There's always some turnover.
You are.
You know, I literally know one of them, like personally, and that's it. So it's all good. All good, but. Really big news in the world of pro wrestling. Well, big news to some, not to Patrick O'Dowd. And that's what we're going to talk about. Samantha Irvin revealed on Monday via social media that she was, her time with WWE had come to an end. And what I love, first of all, is Samantha says, my time at WWE has come to an end. And then 95% of the internet reports headline, Samantha Irvin reveals WWE time has come to an end. Like, they can't even word it differently than how she worded it in her thing. Like, they can't just say Samantha Irvin reveals WWE exit or breaking news, because that's all it was, breaking Samantha Irvin to leave WWE. Like, no, they have to rip off her exact wording and put that in there. So Samantha Irvin reveals that she is parting ways with the E. I know people love when we say the E. And a lot of people lost their minds over this, and we've got talk that she's going to AEW, and Ricochet's like, no, she's not, and we've got people that are talking about how WWE doesn't let her do enough of her side stuff with music, and that's why she had to leave, and there's talk that she's got a young daughter that people tend to forget about, because it's from a prior marriage, and she wanted to spend more time with her. All sorts of things that are coming up. But Patrick O'Dowd, I want to start with you. I don't want to use your text word for word. But I do want to discuss the contents of it. Basically what you were sort of, if I were to rephrase your text in the form of a question, like we're on Jeopardy. It was basically wondering why people care so much about ring announcers and their comings and goings.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with my tweet.
I didn't see your tweet. I went on Twitter. I really largely ignore Twitter these days.
No, where I posted my unpopular opinion that Samantha Irvin's departure is not that big a deal. Don't get me wrong. She was a terrific ring announcer, but I don't see this as the blow to the WWE some are making it out to be.
Right.
What I said in the text that I sent you is some of our contemporaries care way too fucking much about the departure of Samantha Irvin. And the original moniker that you dubbed me with back when we started this whole thing is the Wrestling Realist. I'm gonna have a very brief Wrestling Realist moment to my friends out there of
just go and do.
This means nothing to the WWE. This means absolutely nothing to the WWE. They will miss her as a person. I'm sure they liked her talent. They were not in any rush to like get rid of her or run her out. But you know, like they knew well in advance that she was leaving, despite some internet reports. They did what major companies do when mm-hmm. they learn someone is departing and had somebody at the ready. Mm-hmm. Even if it was a returning Lillian Garcia. And so, you know, I love our network and I love our guys behind our network. And I love that people want to have discourse about professional wrestling. The discourse these guys were having and the discourse I was seeing all in the greater Twitter universe. And, you know,
just to be clear, the purpose of this was not to talk about people on our network and their thoughts.
I'm not going to run anybody down for what they're passionate about. Fine. But that was too much conversation about the departure of a ring announcer, who I get is endearing. I think that people love her emotion. You know, curmudgeons be damned. I think that they appreciated the way that she made matches feel. And ring announcers are obviously a significant portion of the presentation of a wrestling product. So much so that we're going to do a list about it later. Spoiler alert. But
you just spoiled the big reveal. You son of a bitch.
I'm a realist.
You just made the list.
You son of a bitch.
It's very much like a good ring announcer. You can still have good professional, or I'm sorry, play-by-play or announcer. You can still have good professional wrestling with a not the best play-by-play person. You can still have a good WWE product without Samantha Irvin as your ring announcer. Does that mean that it's not a loss and it won't be felt, or that the product will be different? Yes. Is it some monumental blow to the company that we need to debate? Like, how, like, you know, we're goading her. How long was she the ring announcer that we've got people goading her?
She's been up there for a while now.
It's stupid.
So here's the thing. This is not a ring announcer conversation at all. This really isn't. And that's the deal. That's what it is. Like, there are people who have your same point of view that are like, why are we this worried about a ring announcer? We are not this worried about a ring announcer. We are this worried about Samantha Irvin. If Mike Rome, I don't even know if you know who Mike Rome is. If Mike Rome were to announce his WWE run had come to an end, it would be talked about for about 37 minutes and people would move on. And honestly, the more talk would be about who was replacing Mike Rome. If Alicia Taylor would have announced that she were leaving WWE, it would be a bigger deal than Mike Rome because people love Alicia Taylor. And it would be a big deal, and we talk about it. This generation of wrestling fan over the past 2 years fell in love with Samantha Irvin. They love, and she is, if you think about the average wrestling fan, she's a woman. She does an amazing job in the ring. She's gorgeous. She posts scantily clad photos on social media from time to time. Like, for the average wrestling fan, she is a gift to them, and might be like the perfect wrestling personality outside of somebody who actually competes in the ring. Never mind the fact that Cody Rhodes puts her over and CM Punk puts her over. Like, all the internet favorites also love Samantha Irvin, and they're fist bumping her and they're high fiving her. WWE has never released so many videos of a ring announcer sitting at ringside making announcements. If you were to combine all of their videos for every single ring announcer not named Samantha Irvin, it's probably half of what they've released for Samantha Irvin. Like, she was a star performer in WWE who's not an in-ring wrestler. And so that's what this is, a Samantha Irvin deal. This is not a ring announcer deal whatsoever.
Follow her wherever she goes.
They don't want to. This is the Kenny Omega needs to sign with WWE argument all over again. They don't want to go watch New Japan to see Kenny Omega. They don't want to go try to find her new music video she's probably going to release. They want her to be on Raw or on SmackDown. They don't want to work for
her. She doesn't
want
to be on Raw or on SmackDown anymore.
I don't even know that that's true either. Like, that's the thing about it. And everybody, of course, the first reaction was, oh, I knew this was coming as soon as Ricochet left. And it's like, no, you didn't.
She stayed well after Ricochet left.
He didn't leave that long ago. He left over the summer. Like, it hasn't really been that long since Ricochet left. Feels like a lot longer that Ricochet left. No, I guess not. I mean, summer still feels recent, but it wasn't that long ago that Bron Breakker destroyed him and they wrote him off of TV, and then he debuted.
Right.
But anyway, because I think he debuted at All In. So it was in August for AEW as part of the whatever Gauntlet Royale thing they do that Nigel McGuinness came back at as well. But
even if the argument is, and I'm sorry to cut you off, even if the argument is that she wanted to do other work on other projects, and maybe the WWE wasn't on board with that or whatever. Like, I'm sure she did made a decision that was best for her and her career and what she wants to do in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And the WWE doesn't fit in anymore. So while she may not have wanted to get, like, she may have wanted it all and couldn't have it all, ultimately, other things were more important. Like, I'm not saying that she was like, yay, turning cartwheels on her way out the door.
No.
I also think she's betting on herself and she's mm-hmm. going to go do her thing. And
well,
who knows? When she comes back to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, it'll be fine.
She's going to come back and ring announce. Lillian's on her fourth return or whatever. Like, that's the thing. I literally saw people who were like,
well.
like someone was putting they did the Bad Blood introductions. And it was like, little did we know this was the last time we would ever hear Samantha Irvin introduce Roman Reigns again. And I'm like, Lillian just fucking came back. Like,
right.
Lillian's come back multiple times. Like, this is not a thing where Samantha Irvin could never come back. Here's the thing. Like, she had a music career that she was working on before Mark Henry discovered her and got her into WWE. And she credits him with that. She literally was a backstage interviewer on NXT, ring announced one episode of NXT, and was on SmackDown the next week, and was just off to the races as their primary ring announcer after that because of how much everybody loved her, and she was just different than what anybody had seen before. But she was working on a musical career before this took place, and people were like, well, WWE didn't want her to work on a music career. And then they brought up, well, they didn't want Sasha Banks to be in The Mandalorian. They didn't want this, they didn't want that. Okay, first of all, that was the Vince McMahon WWE. Like, Drew McIntyre was just in a movie. And CM Punk literally said they have an app where you can say which days you want to have off. And it's fine. So it literally works just fine. But if you want to have a music career, your agent's probably like, if we need you to be on a plane in the morning, you got to be on a plane in the morning. We don't give a fuck if you're in Philly for Raw. Like, you got to be on, you know, and she lives in Vegas, which has a major international airport. Like, it's perfect location for her and the things that she wants to do. She needed that flexibility. Plus, there's talk that she wanted to be with her daughter. So there's three things. There's WWE, there's daughter, and there's music career. And she probably was like, I can only do two of them. And daughter's not going to go. So I've done WWE. She's never been more popular than she is right now. It's the perfect time to launch your music career and capitalize on your WWE popularity.
And as you know, probably if you launch an album or you put something out there, that means you're going to tour. If you're going to tour, you got to hit cities. That's a lot of travel.
She'll probably have the official theme song of next year's SummerSlam. Like,
maybe.
It's, you know. If it's good and if it's what they want, maybe she'll start doing their theme songs. Is everybody complains about those? And don't come at me with Randy Orton's theme song, people. It's perfect. Do you think people got pissed off about a ring announcer? My God, the way people get pissed off about theme songs is even more. And a ring announcer is way more important than theme song. No offense to theme song lovers out there.
They're fickle, Greg.
Oh, of course they are. Fickle. Of course they are. And had she gone to AEW, they would have been fickle in the other direction against her. And that's the other thing. And everybody brought up Renee Paquette, as an example, because she went to AEW with Jon Moxley. She didn't go right to AEW. She left and started her own show and did all these things and then eventually went to AEW. Samantha and Michael Buffer put out a tweet, and because he loves Samantha Irvin, the work she does. And remember, she's in Vegas. He's in Vegas. UFC's in Vegas. Tons of boxing's in Vegas. Like, there's a lot she could freelance as an announcer and still get tons of work and be very prominent and do so when she's free and it would work. And there's just tons of work that she could do in Las Vegas as well as she's launching this music career. And Michael Buffer's like, she can do MMA, boxing, wrestling, anything she can really do. And he kind of like positions her as like this generation's him because she's so different. Right. And that's why a lot of people can't stand her. Now, he was special. He would do like one match per show. And I could see that. And so I cannot wait for the internet to lose their shit at next year's Double or Nothing, which will probably be in Las Vegas, if Samantha Irvin does a match as a one-off, because everyone's going to lose their collective minds. She'll probably do Ricochet's match. Who knows? But they'll fucking lose their minds. And next thing you know, she'll end up back in WWE at some time in the future. So let me ask you that, Patrick O'Dowd. I'm going to bust out the old Chad Perry. Percentage chance that Samantha Irvin ends up back in WWE at some point in the future as a full-time or regular ring announcer.
As a full-time.
Not a one-off, not a special appearance, but that she's back as a regular ring announcer, just like she had been prior to this departure.
So that'll put me below 100%. Because you had just said come back 100%. But I think it's pretty strong. I think it's, you know, if the music career doesn't work out, she'll be back. I think it's 95%.
That's exactly the number I was thinking of. Was I can't go 100 because her music career could take off. But it hadn't already taken off. And I don't know how old she is. Let's look. All right, Samantha Irvin is currently 35 years old. Okay, she's older than most people who have started a music career, but it's not impossible. We know how insanely talented she is.
35 isn't that old in a music career. Like,
to start it, though, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really, not hip.
Yeah, I think too many people look at the Taylor Swifts of the world and think you got to be like 12.
And no, of course not.
That's the exception, not the rule. Like, it helps. It really does. It helps. But,
but she could do it. She could pull it off.
I mean, if we look at the acting path, like The Rock as an actor started super late.
Mm-hmm.
And now is one of the most powerful actors in Hollywood. So
yes, and in WWE. And here's the thing. It could have been a money thing, too. She could have wanted more money. And maybe they could have said, you know, to stay and not do the act or not do the music thing. And they could have been like, here's what we can do. She's like, and she could probably make what she makes in WWE by freelancing as an announcer. Ricochet probably doubled what he was making in WWE by going to AEW because Tony Khan pays everybody.
Yeah.
And that probably opened the door. When he went to WWE, she's probably like, I could afford to do this now, right? I could afford to take this risk. And you know, and again, because of where they live, being in Las Vegas, that opens up a lot of doors. So it's all fine and well. But if I had to place a bet, I would place a bet that she ends up back in WWE. Here's the reason why. There's very few people out there who are The Rock, who can be the biggest star on the planet in pro wrestling and then become the biggest star on the planet in Hollywood. So the odds are that she won't become that. But she is currently the most popular ring announcer and probably the number one ring announcer in the minds of the majority of fans. Even if she stumbled into this career as a ring announcer, she's one of the best. And at worst, one of the best going today at best. That's rare to be one of the best, right? Like you can train and learn everything that you want to be a ring announcer. But you have to be born with a certain voice in order to do it at the level she's doing it. And you just can't teach that, as they say. Like football, like if you're small, chances are you're not going to be this major football player, right? If you're in basketball, there haven't been a lot of dudes under 6 feet that have been basketball players. There have been some, but the majority have not been that. And that's, you know, the same thing for Samantha Irvin. Like, she's got a gift. And she can always go back to that gift. And if WWE doesn't bring her back for some crazy ass reason, and I'm sure they would, she got other places she can go. And so she'll be just fine with that. But I do believe, if I were a betting man, she'll be back in WWE as a full-time ring announcer at some point in the future. I don't buy the argument that they just found out. Some dude was trying to argue with me on Facebook that they just found out this yesterday. I'm like, so you're saying that she's a liar? Because she said she told them months ago. And you're saying that she's horribly unprofessional to the point where she told them today. And you're saying that Lillian Garcia just happened to be there? Like, I just don't, you know. And Lillian was literally at Bad Blood with the other legends at Bad Blood. Like, obviously she knew then that she was coming back. Maybe Lillian could have practiced a little bit. She had a little rust to work out, but she'll be fine. So it's all good.
Can I, because I didn't catch Raw. I haven't watched Raw yet.
She said number one container. That was literally her first announcement, was that the tag team match was part of the tournament to crown the new number one container. So, yeah. That's it.
That's rough. But No, shit happened.
And she said container she was like, fucking, this is a container match. Like, literally, she was all about the container to the point where there have already been some great memes that are like there's some really good memes out there that are really funny.
We're an unforgiving crowd.
We are.
We wrestling fans, especially on the internet. So
you think? Yeah.
And I remember the first time Lillian Garcia departed.
And I guess it was the end of the world.
People made, yeah, like, that's the, and I guess that's where I was going for. Like, I definitely don't look at this the same way that, you know, the fans do, and that's fine, because I don't watch wrestling the same way that a lot of them watch wrestling anyway, and I don't look at how things are done in a way that fans do. Like, the fans were so desperate for there to be something juicy behind Samantha Irvin's departure that we
that's what the fans want.
Listen to WrestleVotes. That, at least WrestleVotes is the one that I saw that posted the whole, like, she told him that day and nobody knew. And it was like this shock. And
now, WrestleVotes didn't say that she told him that day. She just said that many people were shocked. And because she didn't tell everybody. But the people who needed to know knew. Triple H knew. Michael Cole knew. Like, the people who needed to know knew.
And that's her business to tell.
You know, Kofi Kingston or Xavier Woods didn't know. Or I can't even think, you know, Karrion Kross didn't know. Whoever WrestleVotes might be talking to doesn't mean the company didn't know. Like, that's just asinine. But
that's where we went.
You're then claiming this beloved person that you love so much is a horrible, horribly unprofessional person in the end.
Right.
Is what you're claiming.
If you play that out, that scenario, you're never coming back to the WWE. Well, not never, because the WWE.
It's WWE.
But that distance is probably longer.
Yes.
Because that is something that would lead to bad feelings. Like,
absolutely.
And bad blood. And it just, if you think Samantha Irvin is the person you think Samantha Irvin is, then she's not going to do the dipshit thing that you are peddling that she did.
Absolutely
like,
not.
People don't do that. And again, like you pointed out, like, I don't think people understand that in most cases, it's not like the fucking bat signal with the WWE where they just shoot something up that day and a person's going to make it. Like, sure, that happens sometimes. Most of the times.
And I don't know who lives in Philly. That's where they were. They're in Philly. Maybe Lillian Garcia lives somewhere in that area. I thought she lived in Canada, but I don't know. I think she appeared the night after WrestleMania. In Philly was that last appearance she made. I think I could be wrong about when that was. I don't know. But either way, it's not the big deal that people think it is. All right. You already spilled the beans. We are going to do a list here in a moment. No, you're good. You're good.
You just made the list.
So we are going to go to commercial, come back, and make this list.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
We are back from commercial. Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd, we are under 4 weeks away from your journey to the city of Phoenix, Arizona.
I
gotta
book my car.
Huh?
I gotta book my parking at the airport.
That's right. Yeah, book your parking at the airport. You don't have to worry about here. I will pick you up from the airport, and we will have a grand old time. Patrick O'Dowd's coming out. Heather Lynn's coming out. A lot of people are coming out. You know, when you book Nick Nemeth, I guess these things happen. So if you are local,
it's odd.
If you're local to Arizona or even close by and you want to see the former Dolph Ziggler make his first appearance in the state of Arizona since his WWE release, go to IZWTix, IZWTIX.com, the all newly redesigned IZWTix.com. Looks damn good. Pick up some tickets to IZW Looks That Kill Saturday night, November 16th at Bullshooters, 35th and Peoria. No surprise to anybody to learn that it is the fastest selling IZW event of all time. You can also go to 3dsignings.com to pick up your tickets to Nick Nemeth's signing meet and greet appearance earlier that day at 3D Sports Cards and Collectibles. You get to meet the man in person, autographs, pictures, and more. All that at 3D Sports Cards and Collectibles, our main sponsor in their brand new location that they moved into over the summer. So go out there, check it out, because it does look damn good. All right, Patrick O'Dowd, we're back from commercial. It's time.
You just made the list.
You spilled the beans earlier. We are making the list of ring announcers. Now, reminder to everybody out there, it's not a top six list. It's not an expanded version of Mount Rushmore, which I saw somebody just go off on Mount Rushmore and about how Mount Rushmore is never supposed to be a top four anyway. It's supposed to fill in four specific categories. I don't know the history of our Mount Rushmore and why those four presidents are on there, but whatever.
Well,
I just found it interesting.
It's all bunk because there's supposed to be a fifth one that never got put on. So anyway.
Either way, who knows? The fact that they were able to carve four into the side of a mountain is pretty damn good. So, it's just our list, the list of six ring announcers.
You just made the list.
So it's my list. So Patrick O'Dowd will go first. We will take turns putting six people on the list. We will then put those in order, at which point I will go first. We'll talk about that later. So we're going to make a list. So Patrick O'Dowd, the list of ring announcers, you get to go first.
Okay, and I'm going to take the lowest hanging fruit and the easiest one to put on there, the most obvious choice for people our age, the voice of the WWF for our childhood, well into the 90s, one Howard Finkel. The man's influence is still such that when a new champion is crowned in just about any wrestling promotion around the world, you don't hear them just say new. They really stretch that new out and new, and that is all because of Howard Finkel. He was synonymous with the in-ring product that was presented before you in the WWF, even when he wasn't always the regular guy. You know, back in the early 80s, like when they were in Boston, the Fink mm-hmm. didn't do Boston.
No, Fink did not do Boston.
He did Madison Square Garden.
He didn't do Philly either. He didn't do the Spectrum. Somebody else did that.
Nope.
So,
right. Until later on. As
it does when they became that national brand and all that. By the way, the show is not live, okay? The show is not broadcast live. We are recording this on Tuesday, October 22nd. But someone just bought three tickets after I announced the ticket sales. There's the email I'm showing Patrick O'Dowd. Someone just bought three tickets to the wrestling show. Like Christmas every day when I get these ticket emails. It's amazing. So,
well, you know, you forgot to tell everybody about the added bonus, the most important bonus about this show, and is that you could possibly be Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd together in person.
I did say you were going to be there, so yeah.
But
you could meet.
We're a team.
You who knows what job I will ask Patrick O'Dowd to do.
Here's the thing. You could meet Nick Nemeth. That's fine. Whatever. But you can beat Patrick O'Dowd. And let's talk about meeting the number one chair shot villain.
That's right. That is right. You can meet the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd. Probably for free. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Patrick, but probably for free.
No.
Maybe you have to buy him a drink.
For the people. It's not about the money, Greg.
Maybe you got to buy him a drink. Who knows? So, all right. We will shift gears. Number two on the list. I'm going to go with some low-hanging fruit as well, because he's ring-announced WrestleManias. He ring-announced our WrestleMania that we went to. He is also here. I know him personally. And that is, of course, the current voice of AEW, the dapper yapper himself, Justin Roberts, is going to be the second name that we put on the list. He's damn good. He's top five, in my opinion, all time of their ring announcers. Like,
I mean, clearly you put him on the list.
But it's not a top six list, though. But I do believe he is easily in the top five of ring announcers all time. Probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. Maybe he does now. Right. Maybe he does now.
You're right. So I'm going to go with another name. I don't know if I'd call it low-hanging fruit, but it was definitely the name. Again, it's interesting when I think of in-ring product and like who were the first voices that I remember associated with a particular company. When I think of the WCW, I think of one guy. I think of Gary Michael Capetta. Mm-hmm. And Gary Michael Capetta is a very distinctive voice in the way that he ring announced for mostly WCW. This is Sting. Gary Michael Capetta. So, and
if you've never read his book, I recommend it. Recommend his book.
His ring announcing stronger than his backstage interviewing skills.
Yes. And a unique voice too. Like, not that he was the ring announcer who was not born with the voice, but made it.
Yes.
So very, very good choice there. Patrick O'Dowd. She's the topic of our program this week. She's in the show title. I can't not include Samantha Irvin on the list. So Samantha Irvin, you are the fourth installment on the list. I also put her in that same category as Justin Roberts. I think she is already a top five of all time ring announcer. And I'm going to go so far as to say my own personal top five list, her and Howard are one and two, and I'm not sure who's number one. I didn't realize what you were doing at first, but whatever. No, you're wrong.
We can agree to disagree. We can agree to disagree.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. This wouldn't be a list unless we put something that nobody else is going to put on the list, right?
Yes.
Like, that's how this works. So I'm really debating between two.
I'm debating between, like, four.
Well, I mean, I have a much longer list. Like, I have a ton of people. And I actually, there's a couple I didn't say because I wondered if maybe you might drop them.
And there's three. There's literally, there's actually three that I have at my last spot that I'm just, what am I going to do?
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save you some effort because I'm going to give you the name that's going to be number six on your list. Okay. And it's the one that's not going to be too surprising. That's Larry Nelson. Kids, for those of you who don't know who Larry Nelson was, Larry Nelson passed away in 2014, was the beloved ring announcer for the AWA from the years 1983 to 1988. He was also a commentator, play-by-play guy, backstage, kind of a do-it-all guy for Vern. But I will always revere him for the way he introduced one man, Greg. Who was that man?
That man was Nick Bockwinkel.
And yes. You had to say Bockwinkel.
Bockwinkel.
Accentuation on the Bock. Bockwinkel.
Because again, Larry Nelson, great voice, but not ring announcer voice. And back then, the amplified sound wasn't what it is now. But he did always hit you right in the face with the Bock of the Bockwinkel. And I knew he was going to be on your list. Like, when I sent you the message, I was like, Larry Nelson will be on this list. So.
Right. Well, I went back and forth. And I will, if you don't drop the other name, I will share the other name.
So I have three right now that are killing me. Okay. Because there is a guy who, when I ring announced, that I most likely would be closest to in terms of my vocal quality and the style that would have worked best for me. And that was the man who was most closely linked to the ring announcing in ECW, and that is Stephen DeAngelis. And he also did the first ECW one-night stand pay-per-view. But that's not who I'm putting on the list. Because currently, there is a product being put out by All Elite Wrestling that is called Ring of Honor. And there is very little about the modern-day Ring of Honor that is Ring of Honor. There is Mark Briscoe, the current Ring of Honor world champion, and there is Bobby Cruz, the man who is synonymous with all of the great calls. And if I hear the name American Dragon Bryan Danielson, I hear it being announced in the voice of Bobby Cruz. And we got to meet Bobby Cruz. Bobby Cruz was out here when Ring of Honor was out in Phoenix. But I'm not putting Bobby Cruz on the list either. Because as it says at some point during the show opening, this is my show. I get to do whatever the hell I want. And I am lucky enough to call two people on this planet my very best friends. One of them is the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd. The other one is the ring announcer to the stars, the pop punk princess, the I can't even remember all of her other nicknames. We now call her Arizona's favorite ring announcer. I am putting on the list the one and only Miranda Morales, the queen of soft style.
Could you go?
So, you know why? Because I can.
Because you can, and it's your list, and you can do that. So I too had Bobby Cruz listed on there as a possible.
I figured.
I left him off. I did have David Penzer also listed on there.
Yes.
As you go through names that you remember from
WCW. And the one most synonymous with TNA as well.
Yeah. Also, and the reason I left him off is because, as you so aptly noted, he really only he did one match. It was one match every Monday night on TNT.
Not even every Monday night.
And well, at first, when they first brought him on, it was basically every Monday night for those main events. Like when they started bringing him in, he was a regular. That was Michael Buffer,
mm-hmm.
And that was one of those things that, you know, when I think of things that Eric Bischoff tried and you tip your hat to in making something different, bringing Michael Buffer on to call main events. But the other name I considered for my list was a ring announcer you noted, one Greg DeMarco.
I knew you were going to say that, and I appreciate that. And I just ring announced the weekend before last. So
there you go.
At our event in Coolidge.
As somebody once told you in a professional setting, you have a big ego. Or no, you're arrogant. That's what it is. You're arrogant. I can't have you having that.
What's the second half of the quote, though, Patrick? What's the second half of the quote?
Oh, what, did they like you?
No, they did not like me. You are arrogant, but I understand why.
Yeah, there's that. That's
how is that supposed to be feedback for anybody?
It wasn't.
That was the dumbest meeting I've ever had in my life.
They were not the strongest of directors.
They were not. They're probably ranking. If we were to do one day, we will do a list when we're just really firmly into fuck it stage. And we will do a list of like the worst managers we've ever had, the worst bosses we've ever had, whatever we want to say.
And I don't even know what happened to them.
What's that?
No. I said, I don't even know what happened to them. I don't care.
I don't know either, nor do I care.
Exactly.
Don't give a fuck. So that we now have the members of our list. We've kind of gone through our honorable mentions. Anybody else that you had an honorable mention of that isn't currently on the Jade Chung. I know she's newer to the ring announcing profession.
Confession. While I love me some Jade Chung, I do not love her as a ring announcer.
Gotcha. Okay. We will not tell her that. We will not tell her that. Okay. Our good friend who we're going to...
if you're listening, I still love you.
Of course you do. Obviously you do. Our good friend who we will see at November 16th, Heather Lynn, who will actually be holding a microphone for different reasons as part of IZW Looks That Kill, has also spent some time as a ring announcer as well. Of course you noted I have been lucky enough to do that too. So, yeah. The guy who did NXT UK was pretty good. I can't remember his name right now. He's a UK ring announcer. He's done some good stuff too. you know, I'm sure there's a legendary name out of Japan that we didn't even consider. Same with Mexico. So yeah, there's lots of great ring announcer names, legendary names that you can do and that we chose not to tell.
You just made the list.
So we are now going to go to commercial. We're going to come back and we're going to put this bad boy in order right here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
Bitch! Everybody's gonna pay.
This week's old school theme song of the week, of course, Patrick O'Dowd. One of the greatest theme songs of all time. Not even old school, just theme song of the week. The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. So, the reason why it was this week's theme song of the week was because I already had it downloaded. And so, didn't have to worry about downloading again. Downloaded it for the IZW hit in May. Didn't end up using it because somebody was not in the greatest of condition to walk that day. Doing much better now, health-wise. So,
good.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
And you will be bought.
You just made the list!
So we now have our six members of our list. Howard Finkel, Justin Roberts, Gary Michael Capetta, Samantha Irvin, Larry Nelson, Miranda Morales. We will now turn around and put this list in. Or we also left off Lillian Garcia, by the way. We will now turn around.
You know what? I did have her written down. I crossed her out and forgot.
It's okay. It's all good. We will now put this list in order. It's my list, so I will go first. We'll go 1 through 6. Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd. And then that'll compose the list. So, Patrick O'Dowd, number one on the list. It's my list. I'm going to put my other best friend at number one. Because why the hell not? Because it's my list. And I'll do whatever the hell that I want to do. So, congratulations, Miranda Morales. You're top of the list.
Oh, look at you go, Miranda. I will, of course, go with my boy Howard Finkel at number two.
I really was hoping you'd put Larry Nelson at number two. Just because, who cares what order they're in?
Because Greg, again, what does a wrestling realist do?
That's true. That's true. That's true. I get it. I will then put our good friend Samantha Irvin in at number three on this here list.
So, I forgot about Justin Roberts. So I'm glad you remembered Justin Roberts, because that is an excellent choice and a logical number four to put in there. So I'm going to say, yeah, Justin Roberts.
Then I'm going to steal one of yours, because there's only two of yours that are left. But I'll be honest with you. Given the two, I would actually take Larry Nelson. And I love Gary Michael Capetta. And the This Is Sting and all of that's great. But, like, that Nick Bockwinkel call is something special.
It is.
And it just brings a smile to my – there's not a lot that Gary Michael Capetta did that just brings, like, a joyous smile to my face. But the thought of him going Nick Bockwinkel just makes me smile. Maybe because you've been doing it for years. I don't know.
Because I'm so enthusiastic about Larry Nelson and his delivery of Nick Bockwinkel.
Because it's tangential to your Nick Bockwinkel love. So, yeah.
Oh, God. Greatest wrestler nobody cares about.
People care about Nick Bockwinkel.
People appreciate – well, old men like us appreciate Nick Bockwinkel.
Okay. Make it official. Who's number six?
Who's number six is the venerable Gary Michael Capetta. Overall, nice guy in professional wrestling, from what I understand, too. I've not heard bad
things about
Gary Michael Capetta. So, congratulations, Gary.
And congratulations to all six.
You just made the list.
I feel really bad about Bobby Cruz not being on the list. I really do.
Oh, you know what?
Who cares? It's just a list, right? Yeah.
It's your list. You made the choice. You chose, like, we could tell Miranda you left her off the list for Bobby Cruz.
But she could listen to the show and see that I didn't. So, yeah.
True.
Who knows?
But, you know, you made the right call, I think.
I think I did, too.
Because it's your list. It came from the heart.
It's my list. And if one of those two individuals, I don't think either would do this, but if one of those two individuals were to punch me in the arm for not putting him on the list, it wouldn't be Bobby Cruz. So.
That's fair.
Yeah.
There you go.
It would be Miranda Morales, who you will also meet at IZW Looks to Kill.
It's going to be a big day.
It's a big old family homecoming. I don't think I was able to convince any of the chair shot folks to come on down for it, but.
I thought we had a real shot at Dave.
I mean, you could try. I'll let him in for free.
What?
I'll let him in for free. Like I'll let him come in.
That's right.
No, he doesn't buy tickets.
Him to work. Oh,
no. I might put him to work. I might not. We'll see. So that's the difference between. That's the difference between you and a Heather Lynn. Heather Lynn was begging to be put to work. She was like, "Give me a job." You were like, "I don't want fuck you. I don't want a job. Like
I'm on vacation.
I'm on vacation. I want to hang out and watch a wrestling show." And you will. You will have a blast. I promise you that. You will get to see, you know, like we talked about before. You saw Greg do this, you know, 8 years ago. You get to see it again now. So get to see if I'm any. You get to see if I'm any better at it now than I was then. I hopefully am. But
I mean, for what it was worth, I thought you did a good job in the last show I watched you do.
Well, then you're probably going to think I'm fucking outstanding at this one because I sure have learned a lot. Well, so,
and we'll just consider this the 3 minute warning. The highlight.
Well, wait. Let me. Oh.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out.
I'm assuming Eric Bischoff ring announced for the AWA at some point. I know he was a backstage interviewer. I bet there was a time where he had a fill-in or something.
I don't know that he did. I don't remember seeing him. I saw an interview, yes. Interview.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Along the side of the ring, all over the place. But I don't remember him ring announcing. That doesn't mean he did. I mean, by the time we got to the end of the AWA, there were like three people and two wrestlers in front of a painted wall of a crowd. Like, not even real people. So, okay. My experience watching Greg DeMarco at work in his last 8 years ago as a promoter, the moment I knew that you were going to be fine doing this, whether you knew it yourself or not, you know, and I know that there were some anxious times with you at different points,
of course,
you know, doing this.
That still happens. I mean, that's just life.
But during, so we're there, rings being put up, chairs are being set down, and I don't even remember the name of the young man, the worker, but this guy was pitching you some sort of gimmick, and it was like a knockoff Undertaker-y sort of gimmick thing, like this whole like back from the dead gimmick. He had this whole idea.
I don't remember this at all. This is amazing.
So he had this whole idea about like being in a coffin, like having like a funeral. And he lays this whole pitch out, and you very calmly and politely listen to him, and then are like, "This will not work. We're not going to do that." And then you proceeded to be like, "This is why. Here's where I see the problems, and so we're not going to do this." And that was it. And the dude took it. He moved on. Nobody said shit about you. And I was like, you know, he'll be fine for as long as he wants to do this, because he has the patience to, at the very least, that person appeared to feel heard, even if they didn't get their pitch taken. And so you at least handled the talent well enough in that moment for me to be like, Greg's going to be fine.
I really wish I could figure out who that was. I don't remember that at all. I obviously believe you. I've had plenty of ideas pitched to me.
In my brain, as I'm listening to this idea, I'm like, that's a terrible idea. I'm just the dude, like, sort of standing around in the wings. Like, I'm not going to say a fucking word. But I remember being like, that's horrible.
And I'm like trying to think, I'm like, who did we book that night? Like, I have a pretty good memory about every event that I've either booked or promoted. And so I'm like, who was on the card that night? Would they have suggested it? But then there's always other wrestlers who just show up. Trying to show face, trying to get involved, maybe trying to get booked. So I'm like, okay, did they, you know, was it somebody else? And who the hell knows? Like I said,
yeah. The other thing I remember about that show is I remember that was the first time I had heard of and had the brief privilege to shake hands with both Holidead and Thunder Rosa.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they were working your show, and I remember. They did. I was like, oh, and at the time, Thunder Rosa was this guy, and clearly she's working at AEW now, and, you know, people know who she is.
Did an autograph signing this weekend here in Phoenix, this past weekend.
Right. But, like, at the time, she was still working her way up and doing Craig's independent show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. 100%. Yeah, I just think about all the different experiences I've had and the mistakes that have been made along the way. You'll probably notice me doing less things, to be honest with you. Like, I'm much better now about delegating. I mean, I'm trying to put you to work. Like I'm much better at delegation. I think I just realized at some point, like, with this comeback, like, if I did this, I absolutely cannot do everything on my own. It'll just never – I just won't survive physically. So – and that's pre-leukemia. So yeah, it's but I'm excited. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a hell of a night. I'm sure I'll be stressed at different points. I'm sure I'll be whatever. There was another, you know, thing you saw me do as a wrestling promoter 2 days before that event that we shall not speak of publicly, but I think I handled that one pretty damn well. Yeah, no, you will not hit me up for more money. So yeah, that happened too, but
I remember that.
We won't talk about that. So perfect. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of the program. If you want to join my good friend who purchased 3 tickets to IZW Looks That Kill while we were recording this broadcast, I won't tell you his name. Go ahead. Go to IZWTix.com, the all newly revamped IZWTix.com. Check it out. Pick up some tickets. Come be a part of the action. It's going to be a night to remember. We don't do IZW weekly or monthly. We do it 4 to 6 times a year. So they're always a night to remember. And we would love to have you. And we would also love to know what you think. So if you come because you're like, I told you to come on the show, on the podcast, then come up to me. Tell me what you thought. Like Patrick said, I will listen. I will listen to everything that is sent my way. People still pitch me ideas. Not as many. I think they just kind of go with whatever we're doing. I also think because now people know that, like, we literally know what we're doing at the end of next year. So people are kind of like, okay, if I'm going to pitch an idea, when would it even happen? So I think that's part of it now. Like, I've even had other, you know, some of my contemporaries make fun of me. They're like, well, you already know what you're doing in 2 years from now. So whatever. But yeah. It's the world of pro wrestling, and it's a lot of fun. So
indeed it is.
We'll see what happens next week. As I might be at a conference, I might not be at a conference. Even if I'm at a conference, still might be able to record because it's local. So we'll find out what's going on. But until then, or until the week after, who knows? For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd, at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter, by the way, WrestlingRealist. That's right. There's no I in wrestling. But there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick. For the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Follow me at GregDeMarco44. Follow the website at ChairShot Media. It's sports. It's entertainment. It's sports entertainment. It's
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And until next time, don't be a dumbass. Always use your head. And just enjoy wrestling.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. 'Cause the $1 million man always gets his way.
You just made the list.
Acknowledge me. Bitch.
Bitch.
Bitch.